The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
Welcome back to the Carlow Soccer Podcast. We're on episode 6 now. Thank you all so much for sticking with me over the last few weeks. It's been a lot of fun and I appreciate all the support. I'm super glad that you guys are able to listen to me and, you know, it's been really fun to do. And the feedback has been fairly decent as well, so I can't complain. We are on Spotify now as well, probably Apple Podcasts too, basically wherever you get your podcast now, so you have no excuse to not listen. Go and give us a follow and get notified every time we release a new episode, if you want to listen to the next episode, of course, rather than waiting for me to release one. You know, at least you get the notification straight to your phone. Today we'll be looking back at the Nationalist Premier Division and how it was won on Wednesday night. I caught up with the winning captain afterwards. We'll be chatting about the Tully's Travel Division 1 Cup final that took place over the weekend. I also caught up with the winning manager after that. We don't have a cup final this weekend to preview, but that's okay because we still have plenty to discuss. I also have the Kilree Celtic chairman Paul Gardner back on to talk about Kilree staying up, and he will give us the club's feelings on staying up the Nationalist Premier Division for another season. Before we get to anything else, though, 2 weeks ago on the show, I did bring you the news that Hannover Harps had fielded an ineligible player against Kilree Celtic in their Nationalist Premier Division match. A player had received 2 yellow cards in the previous game and therefore was suspended for the Kilree match, but they still played him and said they thought he was banned for the next match against Newark instead. I asked a question about whether the Hannover manager Paul Dowling should have known this since he's been around so long. Paul has since been in touch with me, and I realise I do owe him an apology. In no way, shape or form should I have mentioned him by name, because by doing that it can seem like I'm inferring that he did something or had involvement in the situation. And by mentioning him on a platform like this, it can hurt him and his reputation, and without knowing exactly what went on and facts, I should never have mentioned him. And I should have been more candid and just kind of generalised the situation, and that's on me. I will apologise for that. I will apologise to Paul for that. My job as a journalist is, of course, to ask questions, try to figure out what happened, why it happened, especially with a situation like this, to try and understand the logic and the decision-making that went on and what everyone was thinking and what potentially was the reasoning for this mistake being made, because that's my job as a journalist. It's to bring you guys the information and bring you guys the facts and try to understand the situation so that you guys can understand, because that's my job. I am, you know, as a journalist, I have to investigate what happened and try to explain it so that everybody can understand the situation. But I should never have brought Paul's name into anything, and I was in no way trying to infer that he was involved in any way. I don't know anything. I just asked the question, and to be fair, I did say afterwards maybe he'd never had to deal with any of this, but I had already put his name out there at that point, and that was wrong. I never meant to make it seem like an accusation or infer he had anything to do with it, because Paul is a man I have great time and respect for, and I'm nearly sure he was the first ever manager I interviewed in the Carlow League after he won the Premier Division back in 2018 with Hannover. So, Paul, I'm very sorry for bringing your name up and for inferring anything unintentionally. That was never my intention. I was just trying to understand everything and try to ask questions that I think most people are probably already asking, so that I can try to understand the situation so I can bring it to the listeners and, of course, my readers in the Nationalist. It was wrong to put his name out there, so I will apologise. As a journalist, I do have to ask the difficult questions to try to get an understanding of what happened so I can bring you guys the fact, but there was no need to name names, and that's on me. I'm human, mistakes happen, I'll hold my hands up. Anyway, this should be the last we talk about it, because it doesn't need to be dragging on. Situation is over, and quite frankly, I don't think we'll ever know exactly what really happened, but I had to try to understand what happened, because that's my job. But I realised it was a sensitive situation and it could have been dealt with a little bit differently, so I will apologise for that. We have the Kilree Celtic chairman Paul Gardner on the line. Paul, welcome on.
Thank you for having me again.
No problem at all, Paul. Paul, you were here with me a few weeks ago, and at the time Kilree had just lost to Hannover over the weekend and therefore had finished bottom of the table and were prime candidates to be relegated. But you had hinted to an incident which meant that you might actually stay up. We then found out that Hannover had played an ineligible player against you, and we now know from the Carlow League that you've been awarded the points from that match and therefore finished second bottom And if there was going to be relegation, you wouldn't have been relegated. We now know, obviously, of course, that there's no team going to be relegated from the Premier Division at all this season. Must be a huge relief for everyone in the club to be safe in the Premier Division for another year.
It's great for the club because you always want to compete at the top level of soccer, and playing in the Premier Division is the top level of soccer in the Carlow League. So, look, we were delighted with the whole scenario, but now we have a hard summer ahead of us doing a bit of recruitment to make sure we're not in the same situation next year.
Yeah, of course, that's going to be the next issue to deal with, you know, because obviously last time you were here, you spoke very openly kind of about the amount of players that had lost, that you've lost since last season. And of course, there's no youth team there to kind of progress in.
To fill in the gaps.
How do you get the numbers back to be able to compete next season?
Well, like we played in there the weekend there again, Hanover. We kicked the last ball of the senior season. So we have the wheels in motion there now already. So our first priority now is to sit down with Mikko and the management staff to see what their plan going forward is, to make sure they're on board with the project that we are after laying out with the committee. And once we have Mikko and Levy and Johnny back on board for the foreseeable future, then we'll get the balls in motion and we'll do a recruitment there, try to get a couple of new young lads in. And we're also in talk with one or two of the more senior players that left us there over the last couple of years about getting back involved in the coaching part of the Oak, which would be brilliant because you cannot beat people with experience and older ahead with younger people. Sometimes it does work, you know. It gives them younger people that boost of confidence you need for them to compete in that level of soccer.
Yeah, of course. That experience is vital, especially when you're trying to compete in a division that's strong like the Premier Division.
Odd. It's very difficult. And even if we had been relegated down to Division 1, which in my opinion I think is a fierce, hard competitive division there, on any given day, any team can beat any team in that Division 1, where in the Premier Division, you start to pick your top 1, 2, 3, 4. And as a weaker team, then you're sort of targeting the teams below that. And you're saying to yourself, they're the games we'll have to target, try and pick up as many points as we can. And then when you play the bigger and stronger, like you said, look, we'll try and do what we can, see if we can upset someone, pick up a point along the way. But the whole thing is to have a plan in place. And last year we had a plan in place. Certain parts of it worked, certain parts of it unfortunately didn't work with the loss of players and injuries. You can't account for people getting injured. And when you lose a couple of big players, it affects the whole team down along the way. So it's very important this year that we get a structure in place straight away from the off. The manager's in place, try and get in a couple of new young lads, a couple of experienced lads are coming back to help us out with the management side and coaching side. So look, it'll be tough again next year. We're not under any illusions that it's going to be easy. It'll be tough again next year, but we're there and we're delighted to be up competing in the top division in the Carlow League. And that's what, since the club started in 2002, that's what we've always wanted.
Yeah. Would it have been more of a blessing in disguise if you had actually been relegated and you had gone down to Division 1? Would that maybe have taken a bit of pressure off?
See, it's actually hard. Look, we had this conversation there. And in hindsight, me personally, you never want to drop down in division. You want to stay in the divisions that you think you can compete in. Mm. Now, unfortunately, last year, it just didn't go to plan. But I think, if we get everything in place, I think we can get back to where we should be in the Premier Division. But I understand completely where you're saying, the team that's there has probably gone full circle and you probably need to get a bit of fresh blood back into the team and back into the club just to keep it ticking over. Me, personally, no, I don't think we would wanted to go down. Now other people in the club had come and said, look, it might be the right thing to do is to start fresh, tear up the book, start a new book and go again and just do a full rebuild. And I think, I think we'll be all right this year. I think we'll get in place what we need to get in place and we'll go from there and I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Sometimes a full rebuild is good, but also sometimes then if you have something in place, a project that you're planning, something that you have a long-term plan in, maybe sometimes it is better to just keep going with that and just see where it takes
you. Sometimes you have to suffer just to get to the finish line. I think last year was a year of suffering, I think. And hopefully now, it doesn't always go to plan, but we have a good plan in place. And if we can get 70% of that plan over the line, I think we'll be more than capable of competing next year to get ourselves up the table a bit and not be struggling as much as we did last year. The other thing with dropping down, when you drop down, it's not that it's not as competitive, but lads don't have the interest and they don't put as much effort in. And when you're playing in the Premier League, lads know you have to train two nights a week. If you don't train two nights a week, you're going to fall off because the standard of soccer and fitness up in the Premier Division like a second to none. Like the Carroll League Premier Division probably one of the toughest, and that proved now this year. Like everyone thought New York were a shoe for them.
Yeah.
Fair play to Crete Yard, they dug out results when they needed to. A lot of 1-0 is there, and they got the job done.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show anyone who can sort of, you put the work in, the rewards are there, but it's all about putting the work in at club level. And our work is after starting out with the committee, and we're going from the committee to management then to the players, and hopefully it'll all go to plan.
Yeah, especially when you put in a lot of work into the pitch already over the last while as well.
Yeah, we're actually being very busy on the pitch down there now, and like we have an under-13s top of the table clash down there now tonight where our boys are playing Bangorstown, and it's actually been raining non-stop for the last 3 days, and the pitch is just taking a battering, and there's only so much work you can do in this weather. But for us now, it's vital. We have a project started on a second pitch, and it's vital to get that over the line, hopefully. We're not saying it'll be ready for the start of the new season, but it might be okay to play all the underage and the non-competitive soccer on it, and that'll give the big pitch, keep it for the seniors and the under-16s and that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, just give it a rest.
Yeah, and where is the second pitch going to be?
It's going to be located just behind our pitch where we are in Ashfield there. So it'll be a giant, the two pitches will be giant together.
Yeah, that'll take a lot of pressure off the club for sure, and you know.
Oh, sure. It's all about facilities, like, and another big thing there for us this year, like, we always use De La Salle College for training, and unfortunately now next year that's not an option for us because the De La Salle are starting building their new school down there, and that's going to be detrimental for training for both us and Bangorstown FC because both of us use it. Other than that, like, we have to travel into Carlow, and it's not cheap to go train on these astroturfs, and it's an extra expense on players and clubs. Because we have nowhere in Bangorstown. We have no facilities for training at all in Bangorstown.
And if that's something maybe that yourselves and Bangorstown can maybe kind of band together and look to say... Look,
well,
maybe
we are in talks. Well, Kilree Celtic there are in talks there. And I know Bangorstown are very eager as well. We are tormenting the council there at the minute to see about maybe developing a community park, which would involve an astroturf. But I think it's a long way off. I think for the soccer clubs... And even the GAA clubs in Bangorstown to survive, they need somewhere to be training. And even the GAA pitch in Bangorstown, like, they have hundreds upon hundreds. And their pitches dig up too. And, like, I see there, like, we pay the IT over in Carlow to use the Astros over there one night a week. And it's not cheap. You have to pay it by the month, and it's not cheap. And we're using the facilities up in the hall there as well, up in the vocational school. And that's €40 now every time you use that. And, like, I'd say the club last year, we spent... It costs €14,000 just for training facilities. Like, that's massive crazy money for a small club.
That is crazy. It's literally insane.
And Bangorstown FC, Bangorstown FC are in the very same predicament as us. They have to pay to train, and they're probably so, like, you could have the cost of $25,000 going out with Bangorstown community itself for two clubs just to train, which is absolutely ridiculous in this day and age. And every small village and town in the country has an AstroTurf facility, so I just can't see why they can't put one in Bangorstown as well.
Yeah, no, it'd be a lot, making a lot of sense, you know, especially to kind of...
Oh, it's your, bring no, more money come here, I think it'd benefit the two teams immensely, because the two teams then would be able to progress more, to be able to train better, get more training in, because as soon as it's dark, then you're going off the pitch down below, because we don't have, neither team... Well, Bangorstown are getting in new floodlights, fair play, they have doing great work over there, but we have floodlights up down the college, but that means it's gone for us now next year, and we're down there the last 13 year training, like...
And what about?
So I just think it's something maybe the councillors in Bangorstown, they need to maybe, if they hear your article there, it might be something for them to maybe get in touch with either Kilree Celtic or Bangorstown FC and sit down and talk to us and see if we can all put our heads together. And it'd only benefit the Carlow League as well to have another AstroTurf in the league as well, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. There's already four in the Premier Division now. To have a fifth would kind of make it a lot easier. Then they could, you know, you could have a whole round of matches.
And I think soccer is more appealing then if you can offer to lads to play on a Friday evening. That gives them their whole weekend off.
Yeah. And I think,
like, if you have lads playing there on a Saturday morning and have to travel to Crete Yard or Wolf Hill or something like that, your whole Sunday is gone, especially if you have young kids, and it's hard for lads to commit then.
Yeah.
So if you play your match on a Friday evening, then you have your whole Saturday off, but that's not possible unless you have floodlights or an AstroTurf.
Yeah. And I guess...
Yeah, so it might be... Yeah.
And I guess like Sir Ballymurphy, for instance, might come up and use it then as well, because it'd be a lot less pressure on them. You know, if they were...
That's what I'm saying. You have clubs in the surrounding area to benefit. Like, it's not just Kilree and Bangorstown FC. You'd have clubs in the surrounding area. Everyone would benefit from it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, the Carlow League is there for the people like Carlow. It's not just there for a certain club. But I just think the local councillors, they need to start coming in a bit more and helping. Like, there's funding there through sports development grants and all that. And the whole thing is, we're two small clubs in Bangnestown and we need help to get these projects over the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to be fair, there are local elections coming up in just over a month's time. So, I mean,
they'll be knocking doors. Yeah.
If any councillors are listening, highly suggest going to Bangnestown and Killary. Try to get them, promise them an AstroTurf. They might vote for you. You never know.
Perfect timing. Yeah. But in regards to everything else, though, Jez, we're delighted that we stayed up, Harry. And look, just fair play to what you're doing. You do tremendous work there all year as well. So fair play to you for the effort you put in, like.
Oh, thanks very much, Paul.
No, you're very welcome.
I really appreciate it. Well, thanks very much, Paul, for joining me. I really appreciate your time again. Always great to chat to you.
No problem, anytime at all. And thank you very much for all the work you put in, all right?
No problem at all, Paul. We'll hopefully chat to you again next season at some point. Thanks very much. That was Paul Gardner, the Killary Celtic chairman, talking about staying up.
The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
On Wednesday night, New Oak and St Pat's went head-to-head in the Nationalist Premier Division, with New Oak knowing they needed a win to guarantee themselves a fourth Nationalist Premier Division title in 4 years, which is an incredible feat, of course, if they could get it done. Only two clubs have done it before, Cret Yard in the early 2010s, I want to say, and then Walkinstown in the 90s would have done that. There's a lot of pressure, of course, four in a row. And I think at the start of the season, most people probably expecting New York to go on and win again, because they have the quality in their team. They are a very, 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 very good side, and I think there's not many sides that can beat New York. But at the end of the day, you don't have to necessarily win against New York. As long as you stop them winning, you stop them winning the league. And that's exactly what happened in the last few weeks. What went wrong, I don't know. Three draws in their last six games, of course, and not a great record. But they did have to go to some very tough places. You know, they had to go to Pats. They had to go to Bacchanalstown. They had to host Pats in New York. So there is a lot. That was a lot of pressure, of course. Was it the pressure that got to them in the end? I don't know. Maybe. Was it all the extra games they had to play on Wednesday nights and stuff? Because obviously they had a lot of games cancelled. They had a couple of games cancelled, and of course they were involved in action in the Leinster Junior Cup. So they had to play Wednesday, Sunday for a few weeks, and of course that does take its toll. I don't know for sure what caused it, and I don't think anybody probably does. There's no denying that New York are a quality side. You don't dominate Carlow soccer since 2018 like New York have done without being a good side, without being a top side. And to be fair, they haven't actually lost any games in the league this season, which is a remarkable achievement in itself. Bit of a strange one that they didn't lose any games, but yet they still lost the league. Usually the team that loses the least games will go on and win the league. But unfortunately, this season for New York, it didn't quite pan out that way. Look, fair, but you can't take it away from Cret Yard. They have been a top side this season. They've been very, very good. Only one game lost in the whole season. That was to New Oak. And they did have a few draws at the start of the season. They drew 2-2, 1-1 even against New Oak at the start of the season. And then they had a couple of draws then against Kilree at home and Parkville at home, both which probably would have come back to haunt them had they lost the league. Because points win matches, you know. Points win leagues. And, you know, with the way that New Oak have been over the last few years, you can't afford to drop many points and still win the league. That's just the way it is. In the end, Cret Yard got across the line. You know, New Oak, I think New Oak will probably do it. I just thought, you know what, they just have too much quality. They've been good for a long time now, and especially after the way they got past Park Villa in Leinster the other week, I thought, you know what, there's a real chance here that they can do it, that they can pull it off. I did think, and I was telling people, Pats will cause New York problems up until the game against Crate Yard on the weekend before, last weekend. I did think maybe there's a chance that Pats can pull off something, because Pats have been a decent side this season, you know? You can't say too much wrong about Pats. Just too many draws, that's the problem. Pats will definitely be there, thereabouts again next season. And of course, yeah, they have drawn twice now against New York. And the fact that they drew in the first game kind of made me think maybe there's a chance they can pull it off in the second game. And they did. It was Denny Farrell, who probably is going to get 3 points for life now over in Baines in Tollerton and Crate Yard. That's the big Crate Yard haunt, of course. Look, we can't take anything away from Crate Yard, like I said, because they have been... They've been great this season as well. You know, 3 draws, only 1 defeat. You know, they've won a lot of games. They've dug deep. You know, like I look at the season, you know, they beat Hanover 3-2. Kilree 1-0. They lost 1-0 to Kilree, sorry. Collession 1-0. Vale 1-0. Parkville 3-2. Pats 2-1. Bagnallstown 1-0. You know, they've had to grind out wins this season. It's not been easy for them. You know, whereas maybe it could be said New York cruised at times. Like you look at the goals tally, New York have 50 goals and Crate Yard have 33 scored, you know. And New York's goal difference then is incredible. A goal difference of 41 compared to Crate Yard's 21, you know. That's just the way it is, you know. And if you look at where Crate Yard were this time last year, they were in 4th place in the league. Can you imagine that? Crate Yard in 4th place. Like, you know, given the history that is in Crate Yard, 13 league titles now, for them to be in 4th place last season, it was a bit of a difficult season for them. And so to recover from that and go on to win a Nationalist Premier Division this season is kind of mind-blowing. You know, you've got to credit the hard work that Chris Marr and Ronan Egan have done with the boys in Crate Yard, because if you had told me this time last year Crate Yard are going to win the league this next season, I'd have laughed in your face. I just didn't think that they would be able to do it. I thought it's going to take some time. They're going to have to rebuild. But no, they somehow pulled it across the line. They've such a great mix of experience and youth in there. And I feel like some players have really, really given it socks this season. Like some Mikey Byrne has been a revelation at right back. The likes of Craig Comerford has been top notch. If he's not player of the year this year, I will eat my hat. Anthony Fitzpatrick has moved into a striker role most of the season. Striker or number 10 has been kind of outside. He's been a winger all his life. Or, well, all his Crate Yard life that I've seen anyway. He's been a winger for the last few years and he's been forced into the middle and forced into being that target man. And he's so small. Like, he's not your regular striker, you know. If you look at him, you would not think he's a striker because of his size. But he's done a really, really solid job up there and he's got them goals when they need them. You know, got to give him credit for that. Like, you know, he's just... Chris Marr seems to be able to get the best out of so many players in that Crate Yard side this season. It's crazy to think that it's been a hell of a turnaround. And I know speaking to Chris Marr on during the week last week, he basically did say to me, look, we ran the hell out of them on wins on pre-season. You know, we had one hell of a pre-season and they just ran and ran and ran. That's basically what he... told me, you know, and that goes a long way, you know, that goes a long way in terms of fitness, you know. Look, fair play, you know, like you look at some of the players in that team and the amount of titles they've won now. This is 13 for the club in general. You've got Chris Marr there, the manager, player manager even. He's got 12 league titles. Like, that is insane that one man has won 12 league titles. That's just mind-blowing. I believe he was too young to play the first season. Crate Yard won it, but after that, then it was plain sailing, really. And he'd been part of it ever since. Barney Fox and Willie Kavner have 8 titles, which is impressive again. Craig Comerford has 7 now. Niall Purcell and Seamus Dowling have 6 each. Mikey Byrne has 5 and Colin Osborne has 4. That's, you know, it's a lot of experience in that Crate Yard side. You know, guys, you know, you've what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in that squad who have won 4 league medals or more. Like, no other side in the Carlo League can boast that, you know, which is crazy. Fair play to them. They pulled it off. New Oak, I know, will be back. You know, they'll be there, thereabouts next year again, and I'll be very surprised if they're not. They're competing for the league title again next season. Was it just a build-up of games? Was it pressure? It's hard to say. Possibly maybe a mix of both. Complacency, did they think they had it in the bag? No. Knowing Gavin Dowling and knowing New Oak, there was no way that they were getting complacent. They definitely would have had the lads up for the match and ready for everything. They just couldn't get across the line in the end. Of course, discipline cost them down in Bagnallstown. You go back through the results and you kind of say where, you know, the Bagnallstown definitely probably won. They will feel like got away from them. If they hadn't had the red cards they had, maybe they might just have nicked the win. I don't know. I think the big one at the start of the big one that they left behind them is 2-2 against Crate Yard out in 2-2 against Kelleshan, sorry, out in Kelleshan at the start of the season. I wasn't even there that day. I was covering Vale and Crate Yard at the time, I think. I remember seeing the result and I was shocked. I was like, okay, what the heck? Because I did not expect that. And I think that's probably the one now that they're looking back on and being like, you know what? That's one we probably should have won. You know, they probably had chances against Pats even as well. But I don't know, I just didn't think they were good enough that day to get that win. But look, New York are a top, top side. And of course, we saw on Sunday when they went and beat Crate Yard then in the Keating Memorial Premier Cup. In that quarterfinal there, you know, they beat them 2-1. They needed a reaction, especially with 2 cups still to play for and Leinster. They had to have some sort of reaction from that game midweek, and they went and had it. Albeit Crate Yard did go ahead through Cormac Murphy, but that seemed to spur New Oak on even, you know. New Oak were missing a few guys through injury, key players as well, you know. David Dotsie O'Shea was missing through injury. I think it was just a knock. Kian Dowling, of course, big loss there. Jamie Murphy up top was missing as well. So, you know, some big losses there for New York, but they still went and got the job done. And they put it, you know, I think the going a goal down actually spurred New York on and actually pushed them on to get the result, you know. They needed that, and they set up a semi-final against Hanover, who beat Kilry 3-0 on Sunday as well at the same time. So that's going to be an interesting game this Sunday even. New York Hanover in the Keating Memorial Premier Cup, and Owen Byrne hat-trick there for Hanover that got them across the line. The other semi-final is going to be Vale and Bagnallstown. That's taking place on Friday night. So, 2 very, very, very good games to look forward to this weekend in the Keating Memorial Premier Cup. But I did catch up with the Crate Yard captain, Jack Brady, after they won the league on Wednesday night with St. Pat's drawing 1-1 with New Oak. I caught up with the captain, Jack Brady of Crate Yard. Jack, how are you feeling?
Absolutely can't describe it. I'm lost for words. Absolutely tough. Didn't think it was going to happen, honest to God. As you just now know, they never give up. And you just always expect them to pull it out of the bag. In fairness to Pats, they put in some shift. Absolutely over the moon. The Craighead lads fucking woke the socks off all year round. And just honestly, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Given where you were last season, at the end of last season, to come now to be able to be here winning the league, that's some turnaround over the year.
Yeah, look, full credit to the squad of lads, the attitude was spot on this year. We said from pre-season, I know last year was a bad year. We got the cup finals last year. Lost the semi-final all to no out. But we still believed that we could win the league. We still had the squad to win the league. Last year didn't go our way for whatever multiple reasons. But we came in pre-season. We said, Buzzy and Ronan said, if you walk like dogs all pre-season, all year, you'll win the league. We'll be the fittest team, Carlo. Hence, I don't know. But look, we just knew. We knew we'd win the league. And we'd hoped. And we knew we were good enough. And definitely to compete, you know.
Yeah. You came here and at the very start of the season, first game of the season, and you probably shocked a lot of people drawing here against these lads. And it's been a hell of a season since then. Like, you set the marker then and said, we're here to stay.
Yeah, like we said before the game, look, this first game of the season, get a good result. We came for the win. We ended up getting a draw in the end, and that set the foundation for the season, knowing that, look, yeah, we can come in the row, we can get a good result. There's not much in between the teams. You know, we always feel that it's the kick of a ball on the day, you know, whether they keep beating us, I know, but that's what we feel anyway, I think. But look, yeah, absolutely. Last one, I'm just chuffed over the moon. I can't just describe it.
And when you lost to New York a few weeks ago up in Crete, it kind of felt deflating. And so, did you think you'd be here? Did you have that?
No. Look, it's the hope that kills it. You're hoping that they slip up, but you know, you're just almost expecting them to win every single game, because that's what they've done for the last 4 years. They won every single game every year, and you just know they will pull it out of the bag. You think, anyway. I suppose with the run of fixtures that they had outside of Carlow and the congestion of games, that might have played its part in it as well. I don't know, but yeah, look, just. You're just always expecting to pull out a bag, and thankfully for us, they didn't.
Yeah. It must mean a lot to you. You know, for a lot of these guys, it's their first league title.
Ah, it is, yeah. It's my first league title in Carlow. I'm here playing a couple of years now, and yeah, that's the only thing I've ever wanted since I stepped in the dock right here, was to win leagues, because when we came in, they hadn't won a league for a couple of years, and that was my personal goal, to try win the league with Craighead. And look, it's great for the squad. Look, you know, you're league champions for a reason. Like, the best team usually wins the league at the end of the year. So, look, it's brilliant. It's brilliant for the squad, yeah.
To be runners up for the last 3 years, you know, you were second for a couple of years there. Second Craighead 2019, it went to a playoff. 2020, you were runners up again. Last year, you kind of fell a bit short. So to finally get over the line, how much does that mean?
Not just for myself, it's for everyone in the club. Like, I know now that everyone will be over the moon. It means that the league is everything in Craighead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as much as the Premier Cups and the Carlow Cups are great, but it's the league that Craighead want every single year. That's what they want. That's what the club thrives itself on, is winning the league every year. And it's killed everyone in Craighead not winning it. Not even competing last year, even for the league. That killed everyone. Because, you know, like I said, Craighead thrives on winning leagues. So hopefully now we will be back now winning leagues, competing for leagues and getting closer every year now, and the next year is coming.
And the crazy thing is that you've actually lost the game. New York haven't lost any games yet. That's the crazy thing.
That's the madness of the league at the minute, yeah. Like, you know at the start of the year, when you come into pre-season, you have to win every game. Because New York are more than likely going to win every game. And like, they don't draw many games, not in previous years. Like it's yeah, it is. It's a bit mental that you go unbeaten and you don't win a league. I suppose that's how good the two teams are. And
yeah.
They probably push each other each week. You know, first thing you do when you win, you check New Oaks results, see how they're going on. I imagine they probably do the same. You know.
Yeah. And just kind of tell me a little bit kind of about the work that's gone on this year in particular to bring the squad on to the job that Buds and Ronan have done to bring it on from where it was, the squad was last season, to be that deflated after the last 3 years to come in and do that. Like, tell me just a little bit about the work that's gone into that.
I think like in pre-season when we got together, we kind of, Buds said and Ronan said like, the aim was to be the fittest team, Carlo, and he was gonna run us like dogs. That's exactly how we did. He absolutely dogged us for months on end. The fitness. And I think that kind of played part. There's a lot of games now through the year where we got late goals, like last kick of the game, last minute impacts. I think that probably played a role, and I suppose attitude as well. Like everyone's attitude had to be spot on from the start of the year. And I think they're spot on now, yeah. I can't fault anyone's attitude. Everyone was absolutely brilliant all year.
Yeah. And in terms of going forward, can this be a platform to build on?
It has to be. Yeah. You get close every year to getting them. The goal is at the start of the year is to win the league. No matter where you come, fifth, fourth, third, whatever, the goal every year is to win the league. And it would be no different next year. You know, it'd be no different. It'd be the exact same thing every single year. Win the league. So, and whether we achieve that now or next year, is a different story. I won't know, obviously, but I imagine the Woke are going to be banged there again next year and every other year after that, I imagine, you know. They're a strong old team. They're great to it. And all credit to them. Condolences to them. Like you can see that's such a they are. They're very good, very good to it.
You've been defensively solid all year. How much has that defence been key? How key has that defence been this season?
Craig, Mikey, Rocky have been solid all year, absolutely solid. They fight for everything, absolutely fight for everything. They defend first and then play out. They're just second to none when it comes to picking a man and just staying one man, fighting for every ball. And they're very well out. Craig and Mikey, experience that them two boys have is crucial in that defence, yeah. Constantly talking, constantly telling you where to go, where to be. They're brilliant leaders. And I wouldn't want anyone else back there, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely solid.
Mikey's been a revelation this season, kind of going back to right back.
Mikey's been
brilliant.
Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable he is. He reads the game terrifically. He's always in the right position, really gives the ball away. What I was going to say about me, he's just so always in the right position. Like, it doesn't matter who's coming against, how quick, how big, how physical they are. And he's not the biggest lad in the world, but his positioning and his football brain always gets him in the right position to win every ball. And he's a fantastic footballer. Absolutely, it's a pleasure to play him. Absolute pleasure.
You've had to grind out a lot of victories this season, but I guess in the end that's what tells. You know, getting over the line, it's those 1-0 victories that win you titles.
Yeah, it's a kind of cliche really, isn't it? Kind of doesn't like you're winning games, it doesn't matter kind of how you win them, sometimes you keep racking off the wins, and whether you win 5-0, 6-0, 1-0, it doesn't really matter. 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day. That's all you want when you start the game, you just go, it doesn't matter how you win, just gain the 3 points and get out here.
Well, thanks very much, Jack. I really appreciate your time. Well done again,
thanks
mate.
Thanks very much, Harry.
The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
On Saturday night, a huge crowd gathered in St. Pat's in Carlow to watch the Tully Travel Division 1 Cup final between Ballymurphy and Domin Celtic. We, of course, spoke to both James Williamson and John Whelan here on the podcast last week about the game, and they helped me preview it In the end, it was Dolman who won out 3-1. Goals from Danny Thompson and then two goals from Liam Ryan helped Dolman to back-to-back Tully's Travel Division 1 Cup Finals wins. An amazing achievement. Of course, Dolman are a cup side. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows how difficult Dolman can be in a cup, and especially this one. They had a lot to play for, of course. We addressed it last week. James Williamson, the Dolman manager, brought it up last week, and he basically said, look, when the cup started, our teammate Willie Casey was with us, and unfortunately he passed away just days before the semi-final. And I think from what he said, that they'd vowed to win the cup for him. And they did just that. You know, it was a very emotional time, I must say. Yeah, it was a beautiful tribute to him at the full-time whistle. They were singing songs. I think it was, the Winter Wonderland. They changed the name to Willy. We're walking in a Willy Wonderland. You know, and I just thought that was really, really poignant. You can go onto my Twitter page, Harry's Articles, to see the video of that. I did put it up on there. It was a really poignant moment when Liam Ryan scored his goals. He pulled up his T-shirt for the first one and revealed a T-shirt of Willie Casey. And then he took his top off for the penalty for the second goal, for his second goal, and showed the T-shirt of Willie Casey then as well. You know, then Willie Casey's dad actually received a medal afterwards as well from the Carlo League, which was nice to see. It was a really little special moment, you know, and I know it would have meant a lot to the club and to the family for him to get a medal. And then, of course, the captain, Liam Ryan, made a very passionate speech. Not the captain, but Liam Ryan, anyway, made a very poignant speech paying tribute to Willie Casey after the full-time whistle. After they'd been presented with the cup, he made a very passionate speech because he was best mates with Willie. It was an emotional time. You know, I guess it's very fitting Dolman won because of Willie, you know. I know emotion shouldn't come into sport, and I know Ali Murphy would have been gunning for the win, but, you know, you just can't help but feel happy that Dolman won in a way just because of what they were doing it for, you know. Never nice seeing young people passing away. But yeah, that was a very special moment for that. I must say, actually, there was a huge crowd out again for this cup final. The place was packed, the Meadows in Grey Cullen in St. Pat's, of course. It was packed to the rafters. Just before kickoff, they had to close the gates because there was no more room in the car park. So they were not letting any more cars in. It's a bit crazy because, like, the crowds actually lately have been really, really good in the standalone games, I found. You know, the game last week, New York and Parkville, that was huge crowd. Massive crowd out there. Of course, that was a huge crowd. And then the Youth Cup final last weekend as well. That was a massive, massive crowd. There was a massive crowd out again on Saturday night. There was a massive crowd out during the week for New York and St. Pat's. Like, the crowds that are coming to these games is incredible. And I think that the league can definitely take something from that and say, look, okay, standalone games that aren't on at the same time as other games are getting good crowds out to their games. So why don't we look at doing more showcase games like that more often? You know, look at maybe doing a showcase game on a Wednesday night every week. You know, if there's no Oscar Traynor, of course. You know, why not? You know, and the crowds, Oscar Traynor games this season have been huge. You know, and I think that's something that the league need to look at for next season. Why not have, especially at the start of the season, it will reduce so much fixture congestion at the back end. When you look at the crowds that have been turning up, you say, OK, we'll put a game on a Wednesday night next season because we can. because there is that capability there, and the crowds will come out. You know, if you can get the referees, then why not? Why not look at it and see, trial it even, you know? I think it's a possible idea, and I think it could go down really, really well. And I know that there would be big crowds at a lot of the games, you know, especially if it was a top game, you know, like a top of the table clash even, sorry, what I was trying to say, you know, like a New York Cret Yard or a New York Pats or Cret Yard Pats or something like that. Like, even games on Saturday nights in St. Pat's have drawn a big crowd, I've seen, because there's no other game on at the same time in the Premier, you know, and a lot of people will go and watch. That's going to change next year, of course, with Burren Celtic being on Saturday nights as well, playing their home games on Saturday nights, but just something that I think the league could look into, maybe, for sure. But anyway, I did catch up with the Dolman manager, James Williamson, after the match. James, can you sum up your emotions right now?
No, not really. No. It was a very tough game, and Ballymurphy brought it right to the end, really, and the last kick of the game really won it for us in the penalty. It was nip and tuck right till the end. Ballymurphy had us backed up for the last 20 minutes there, really.
You've got a count of yourselves anyway.
Yeah, we had a great count of ourselves. We couldn't really get the ball on the ground like we usually like to play. Kind of like a Ballymurphy kind of a game where they like to lump the ball up and stay dogged, but we couldn't get our game going. And when we did it, I couldn't really see us getting too many goals today with their backline held strong.
Mm. You still scored 3 goals, which is more than
three goals, but it's
fairly decent,
yeah. But we're usually capable of scoring a lot more. We didn't create as many chances as we usually do.
What would you put that down to?
I'd put it down to Ballymurphy, really.
Yeah,
Ballymurphy played really well, and fair play to them. And they were really unlucky in the end, where they could have really pulled it back to all or a couple of chances with corners and free kicks. I had a lot of free kicks there. We gave a lot of silly free kicks there.
You had to kind of withstand a lot of pressure at the start, but that kind of earned you then the right to kind of go on. You know, once you kind of withstood that early pressure, you were able to kind of go and play a little bit and get that goal, that first goal.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said to the lads. First 20 minutes, 25 minutes is going to be crucial. First goal be crucial, and lucky enough we got it. And Ballymurphy came out in the second half then, and they were really, really offered and put the game to us.
Yeah. Two cups in a row now. I'd be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. Two back-to-back Division 1 cups.
Well done, lads.
Thanks, mate. We're still in the Carlow Cup. Big game now next Wednesday against Newark. Hopefully we'll get the lads up and the momentum and bring us into this game, and we'll fire on into the semi-final of that cup.
And you feel like you can do it?
On our day now. We
won't be too hungover.
On our day, but we can put it up to most sides or every side here in Carlow. We wouldn't fare any team on our day, like, with the firepower we have going forward.
How proud are you of the guys?
Oh, very proud, yeah. It's been a pleasure to manage the lads for the last 3 years. I know we have some bad times here and there with discipline and stuff like that, but when the lads kick on, really, really do kick on, and they can pull up to any team, really, like I said, in Carlow, when they're on it.
And you could have had a couple more goals, to be fair. You hit the crossbar a couple of times.
Well, we hit the crossbar once, and we hit the post in the first half with Danny. I thought it was a great effort. We were caught offside a few times now today, in fairness, more than usual. Well, maybe that's down to the linesman, you know. But we had a great few chances, but just couldn't capitalise as many as we usually do.
Yeah. We got the job done in the end, which is the main thing.
That's it, we got the job done, yeah. And we're champions another year.
Yeah. Can you tell me how much it means to the club? I know, obviously, we saw the big tribute to Willie Casey there at the end. How much does it mean to the lads to get over the line and do it for him?
It's huge, huge. The lads are really proud of themselves. They wanted to do this for Willie. They got it done for Willie. And fair play to the Carlow League to give Willie's father a medal for winning the cup as well. But really proud of the lads of what they've achieved and what they've put in this year.
Would he be proud of them?
Oh yeah, he'd be proud of them. He'd be singing along with them, and if he was here today, and he'd be drinking out of the cup tonight.
It'd be nice to celebrate in his memory.
Yeah, oh, definitely, Harry, yeah. It'd be nice to celebrate in his memory, yeah.
And how can you push on now as a club?
We could do a few new additions, with a few other backline is very, very old.
Yeah.
So we need a few young lads to spur on the team. But our main objective now next year is to get promoted.
Yeah.
It has been for the last 2 years, but we just fell short in the first part of the season, really. Yeah. Just killed us off, and then the second part we kind of kick on.
Yeah. And you're thereabouts usually.
Thereabouts, yeah. But we'll see next year now. Yeah. But hopefully we'll do it next year.
You're a tough side to face down in Dolma. Not many teams like going there.
Yeah, not many. Oh, well, I would say that, yeah. We're not a nice team to play against, but the likes, when the boys are on it, they'll tear you asunder, like.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
I've got to give a quick mention actually to the Over 35s League that started over the weekend. I myself was down in St Pat's, where Cret Yard and St Pat's renewed their rivalry in Division 1 of the Carlow Concrete Tanks Seniors Division. In Division 1 there, of course. That was a very good game, I have to say. Some really good quality stuff. Over 35s can be difficult to watch sometimes, but that was a good enough game. Cret Yard, of course, are the most decorated side in that as well, I think. Off the top of my head, I can't remember, but I know they lost their league last season to Bridge, who it seems have now folded, which is a bit of a crazy situation. They won the, maybe they just won the league and they were like, well, screw it, that's us done, and we won the league. Why continue, you know, that kind of way? But anyway, actually, funny thing is, I was down there actually, and it was after the match. I was talking to the Cret Yard, to the Pats manager, the junior manager, Patrick Brennan. He, of course, used to be Cret Yard manager back, I think it's only two seasons actually, he's only two seasons away from them. He was manager there for a long time, and I know he won the league with them back in 2017, I believe. The Colin Osborne title, I think they're calling it. I think Colin Osborne got a big win, got a big goal in to win them the league in the last minute or something. So, but what I thought funny was that the manager, the St. Pat's manager, Patrick Brennan, actually, because he used to be a Cret Yard manager, and after the game, we were outside the clubhouse and all the cars were coming down, all the Cret Yard cars, and every single person opened their window, shook his hand, like, thank you very much. He was like a local celebrity. He was loving life. He was loving all the attention from everybody, thanking him for winning them the league, you know. The second one he's won for them, he won it for them back in 2017, like I just said. So that's a bit of a funny situation there. I thought that was quite funny, and I wanted to just bring that up because, why not? It's a funny moment. But anyway, that's me done for today. Thank you again for listening, everyone. I really appreciate all the support and the love for the podcast. Nearly everyone I've spoken to has had good things to say. I always have people coming up to me at games and are full of positivity for what I'm doing. So that, you know, that makes me happy that I'm doing a job for you guys, you know. And I do want to keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, talking about the issues that are important in the Nationalist Premier Division and beyond, in the whole of the Carlow League and across the entirety of Carlow soccer, whether that's League of Ireland, whether that's locally, it doesn't matter. Don't forget, we are now on Spotify, so just search Carlow Soccer Podcast and follow us, and you'll get an automatic notification then every time we post a new episode. Before we go, I want to pay tribute to a man who this podcast would not exist without, and that is Robbie Dowling, who is the former head of sport here in KCLR. He has been a great help to me. Was a great help. It was his idea to get the podcast up and running. It was all down to him, his idea in the first place. He approached me and said, look, I want you to do a podcast for me. And I was like, okay, yeah. And he sorted everything, got me in, you know, he let me have the freedom, taught me a lot as well. And I just wanted to pay tribute to him because he, of course, helped set this up. And without him, it wouldn't exist. So I really appreciate everything he's done. And I want to keep it going. I want to keep it going for him because I know he would want to see the podcast go on and be successful and do well. So I'm not going to quit just because he's quit. I'm going to keep going because for me, I know he would want that. And he would want to see the podcast reach new heights. So I will keep going. So you have to put up with me for another little while at least. We'll keep going until the end of the season at least and see where that takes us. Just want to say thank you very much to the legend that is Shane O'Keefe for helping get this set up and get this online for us. Next week we will hopefully preview the Leinster Junior Cup semi-final. I will hopefully be talking to someone from New Oak. Hopefully do a bit of a preview of that, of their semi-final against Wexford Bows coming up the following week. And I know the Whites Pharmacy Division Cup final is set for 2 weeks' time as well. Well, 10 days at this point. So I will hopefully have both managers on here next week as well and preview that. So that is all for today, folks. Thank you again for listening. Over and out.
The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.